recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big headlines over this weekend, and we will start there. It's hour number two of the early line. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We are live right here on Sports Grid. And the PGA Championship stepped right up with a couple of big headlines. I want to start with the winner because I think that's appropriate. A wild close that ultimately led to a playoff between JT and Zalatoris. And it's Justin Thomas who ends up winning the PGA Championship there. It, you know, a lot of drama, a lot of excitement, and one of the very best in the world comes away with the trophy.
And he does. And it, no surprise here, second PGA Championship here for Justin Thomas. But I have to say, when you're watching this tournament all the way through, sometimes you take some long shot flyers heading into Sunday. Say, why would I do that? Just write a guy off. Or maybe you took a Justin Thomas ticket before the tournament started. Like, he's got no shot here. Shot a 74 on Saturday, which again, par 70 plus four. You expect yourself to be out of it, being what, seven shots back heading into Sunday. And here you are coming down the stretch. But one of the ultimate pressure cooker moments is a major golf tournament. And you see it so many times heading down the stretch. Guys that haven't won championships, that aren't used to winning major championships, folding down the stretch in an epic style, where you had a guy that basically just had to come down and par or bogey to get into a playoff here, double bogey the 18th hole. But that's what happens here. Credit Justin Thomas, who played those holes phenomenally, those final three holes in the playoff. You're even birding a hole. I can't imagine when all the eyes are on you, and it's like, it doesn't rely on a pitcher. It doesn't rely on another player getting you the ball. It's just you and the golf ball out here, and you try to line up from like 190 out, knowing you got to hit the center of the green. If you miss it too far left, it rolls off. The amount of pressure these guys deal with day in and day out, phenomenal performance by Justin Thomas, who, quite frankly, I don't think anybody, and what were the projections? Chance of winning coming into Sunday, like 1% for Justin Thomas, and he pulls out the victory. That's a long shot for you right there.
And for those that don't know, it was Mito Pereira, a young 23-year-old who had a big lead coming into the final day at the PGA Championship, and he had a big lead, really, in the sense of the golf terms, going into 18. Par wins the whole thing. You bogey, you go to a playoff. Yes, you're going to be a dog against the Zalatoris and the JT, you know, trio. You take your chances. Double bogey finishes T3. That's a heartbreaker for Mito Pereira, but obviously was fantastic in this tournament. Here's the second story. Maybe it's a bigger story. Depends who you are. Tiger Woods had to withdraw from this tournament. Tiger Woods went out there on Saturday, 9 over, 1 birdie, 1 triple bogey, and then 6 or 7 other bogeys in general. It was a terrible Saturday for Tiger. He still made the cut, which is incredible in itself, but ultimately needed to withdraw. It feels like the takeaway is that Tiger just, at the moment, at the minimum, does not have what it takes to really play the back end of a tournament here. First 2 days, he should be good enough. He's a good enough golfer. He's a smart enough golfer to be able to get himself through the cut there ultimately. But we get to Saturday, and if he can even get to Sunday, things get ugly. I just wonder when the next time we see Tiger is even out there. Like, is it possible we don't see Tiger until next year's Masters?
I still think he's going to probably play the British Open. I think he's actually confirmed that he's going to play in the Open. But again, it leaves a lot to be desired here when you leave a golf tournament here struggling with some of the injuries that he's had. And you're right. Maybe betting Tiger Woods early in the golf tournament is the way to go. We welcome in the radio audience here on the early line. On a Monday, it's Donnie and Kevin talking here about the PGA Championship. But if we talk about Tiger Woods moving forward, We talk about how well he plays typically at the Masters because, Kevin, he played it hundreds of times, hundreds of rounds there. Now you're getting out to other tournaments that he's not at all familiar with, and you see some of these things buck up because when you're walking that type of distance for that long and you're just saying to yourself, maybe I can make it through a round or two, that's what we've seen in back-to-back tournaments now, and maybe that's what's going to happen at least over the next year. But the one thing that's troubling, these are those years where you expect Tiger to maybe be more competitive and be in it to win another major championship, which he wants so badly. But Father Time is ticking here. You don't get any younger while you're past, hey, I'll be more healthy next year. You also be another year older.
Yeah, it's, man. Because like you said, I know, you know, he's committed, but obviously when you have to withdraw from a tournament, it could change some things. Yeah. We'll see if that's the case. For Tiger Woods, obviously, you prefer him to be out there. I want to mention the Stanley Cup playoffs here. You know, obviously, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been rock and roll. The Rangers, a huge win to get themselves on the board against the Carolina Hurricanes there. Connor McDavid has been otherworldly during these Stanley Cup playoffs. 2+ points in 9 of the 10 games that the Edmonton Oilers have played. The Tampa Bay Lightning, though, maybe the big story. You tell me. The defending champs, back-to-back champs, up 3-0 on the Florida Panthers here. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it shouldn't be so simple. They get to the playoffs, and they just turn it to another level, but it's what we're seeing.
Yeah, Panthers may be the best team overall in hockey during the regular season. Now you see them on the ropes down 0-3. And you take a look here at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Slight favorite coming into that game tonight at a minus 122. And we have an odds boost tonight. Steven Stamkos to score one goal and the Tampa Bay Lightning to win. That's priced at a plus 450 here for the FanDuel odds boost. But also, another thing taking a look at, when we talk about Connor McDavid. We're talking about a series that's in round two series that obviously is a 2-1 lead. So game 4 is coming up. Connor McDavid has 17 assists already in the playoffs. Some guys that play an entire season in hockey, like, man, had a good year, 17 assists last year. He's got that through a round and a half, and he's a goal scorer, Kevin. Tremendous stuff.
Why are they playing back-to-backs in the playoffs? Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, time to preview some Major League Baseball. We'll start this thing off. Let's get right down to it in the NL Central with the Cubs. And you know what? I lied. I want to kind of set the stage here. I know you're excited for today's slate, which is always great news, but we had a team total on Thursday, I believe it was Astros Rangers, and I don't think anything else jumped out to you over the weekend. What's kind of been your read? Has it been a lot more the same when you've been breaking down these Major League Baseball games?
It's been a lot more of the same, and sometimes you're trying to factor in on what makes the most sense, and what I mean by that is my numbers that have been very good to me over the past 5 years, weighted on base percentages, ISO power numbers, xFIPs, FIPs, all that stuff, they sort of correlate together, but this year, Kevin, not correlating, and the reason why this has been so maddening is you have pitchers with terrible xFIP numbers, which means they're not striking out a lot of guys, balls are in play and giving up a lot of fly balls. But as we take a look at home runs down, probably what, at least a third of what they were even last year, those ex-fit pitchers who are terrible, they're getting away with a lot more than what they have been able to do over the past 2 to 3 years. So I'm just trying to weigh that to see how much that adds into it as opposed to just looking at xFIP with the weighted on base average and try to molding them together. Maybe have to change up a few things, but also keep in mind, Kevin, as you pointed out before, the team totals aren't as high as they were over the last 2 years. You're just trying to measure up now because those 4.5s might be a 4. Those 4s might be 3.5s now because the bats are down. Hopefully some of these heat waves that are passing through Major League Baseball will help us. But just trying to find that fine line saying, I don't understand. This guy is a terrible pitcher. Why is he winning games 3-1? Well, hopefully if the ball changes or the heat and humidity help us out, the more balls that leave the yard, the more times these team totals have the ability to cash.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch all of this stuff continue to play out there. Hopefully, again, things can kind of start to turn the corner because not only do we prefer to bet the over, I mean, again, I think that's natural, but it's unnatural the way things are right now in Major League Baseball. If you're honest, you're aware of that, and it just doesn't make sense kind of the way some of the things have applied, but it was a fun weekend. Ultimately, there are some interesting results. Let's see what Monday provides us here. And what do you know? Here he is, my man. I might get a Vladimir Gutierrez jersey, man, while I still can. The Cincinnati Reds and the Chicago Cubs get after it. The Cubs, a slight road favorite and a total of 9 that looks like it could very well get as high as 9.5. It's the Reds as a home dog, which, you know, is kind of par for the course here. What are you thinking when you see the Reds-Cubs game?
Yeah, you got, what, DJ Vlad on the mound, Vlad the Impaler, whatever you want to call him. He's typically money for the opposite side that you're betting here. 7.59 xFIP on the season. Lefty batters and righty batters having no challenges whatsoever. Lefties weighted on base average of 498, righties at 378. But then again, you're taking a look, and here's the crux of the argument. Usually you could just auto-blind fade Vladimir Gutierrez, right? He's terrible every time, and if you have a team total of around 4, you just automatically blind fade it. I understand that, but you take a look at the Cubs here and how they line up against right-handed pitchers in the lineup today, maybe 3 guys that are plus out of the 9. So again, so many times in this 2022 season, Kevin, you're taking a leap of faith. Pitcher stinks. Eventually the hitters are going to hit. That's what you're waiting on. If you take a look at Smiley on the opposite side, 3.86 xFIP. He's actually been very good to lefties, which is typical of a left-handed pitcher, but he's struggled a lot, Kevin, against right-handed batters. A 361 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 223. But if we line it up today out of some of the batters that we're anticipating being in the lineup, I see what, 1, 2, 3, 4, possibly 4 to 5 left-handed batters in the lineup, which is not the way you want to attack Smiley. Do you want to take an under? I can't recommend an under with a Vladimir Gutierrez, but yeah, it just would have been nice if the Cubs matched up a little bit better against Gutierrez today, even though he's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those spots that maybe you can pull up a hitter prop parlay, 2+ bags. As far as someone that has good numbers up against Gutierrez, Ian Happ probably would be your top candidate there. Smaller sample size, sure, but 4 for 8 with 2 homers and a double. Obviously, that's a high extra base rate there. Plus 105 for Ian Happ could potentially work for you if you'd like to throw it down. There's still and that's the thing, right? For the team total, you're looking for the full lineup, but sometimes you can maybe isolate 1 or 2 guys. You go start, you know, work on 2 total bases or potentially some hitter prop parlays there. Cubs-Reds is going to be one of the earlier games on that slate, getting off before 7 o'clock. Orioles and Yankees is also on this board. Feels like these teams are starting to play each other all of the time now. And I'm actually very happy, though, that this matchup was provided to us, because these teams played in Camden Yards past weekend or last past week. And Gerrit Cole's like minus 270 in Baltimore. I was like, man, is he going to be like, would he be like minus 350 at home? Not quite, but close. Minus 330 on the New York Yankees with a total of 7.5, man. I mean, that it's just such a huge number in a baseball game there. Minus 330 for the Yanks over the O's.
Yeah, it is a big number, and rightfully it should be that number. But I got to tell you, this is kind of an interesting matchup here, because Gerrit Cole should breeze right through this Baltimore lineup. 3.49 xFIP on the year, dominant to lefty and righty batters. Not a lot of great hitters in the lineup tonight for Baltimore, but if we take a look here at Jordan Lyles, the right-handed pitcher on the mound here for the Baltimore Orioles, a 4.63 xFIP number, which is elevated. Lefties, which rightfully so, a bad right-handed pitcher, lefties are going to get the best of them. A 363 weighted on base percentage and a 247 ISO power number. Now, if we take a look here to right-handed batters for Jordan Lyles, a 112 batters that he's faced, a 302 weighted on base average, which is slightly below average, and an 085 ISO power number, which is very good. Now, if we take a look at the anticipated lineup tonight for those New York Yankees, we know they're right-handed dominate. And if we take a look at Rizzo, the lefty, who's had a great season versus, quite frankly, lefty and righties, it seems like, he's got a 283 ISO power number and a 374 weighted on base percentage versus right-handed pitching. But having said that, after that, there's only one other lefty doing the lineup. That's in the 9 hole, and that's Aaron Hicks, who's a switch hitter. He's been terrible this year. So if we're taking a look for Lyles, what he does well going up against right-handed batters, that's going to be a dominant lineup. Do I think the Yankees win tonight? Absolutely. But that 7.5 might be rightfully so. Gerrit Cole should hold that lineup down for the Orioles. And I don't know if we have that mashing lineup all together here for the New York Yankees, considering how well Lyles has actually done against right-handed batters.
What's interesting is he has gone now, this is going to be his 4th start versus the New York Yankees. I mean, it's mid-May here. You look through the lines, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 1 run. And then he went 4 2/3, 7 hits, 6 runs. And then the last inning, he went 7 strong, 5 hits, 3 runs total, 2 of those earned. So It's hit or miss. What stood out to me is two guys who had nice numbers here were Stanton and LeMahieu. Neither one currently listed. If you were to try to go to that record, a hitter prop parlay market there. So still probably waiting on a New York Yankees lineup overall here. Again, you expect the Yankees to be able to throw it down. I'm kind of surprised that the run line is not 2.5. I know that's a lot. It would be a minus number all of a sudden on Baltimore if it were 2.5. But again, when you're -330, I mean, if for a baseball game, that is just an absolute monster number. Maybe the only other team in Major League Baseball that at times will see that number is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're -215. That's because they're on the road. We'll get this one in quickly. They're going to make a trip to Washington here. The Dodgers, again, big-time favorites on the road. Totals a 9. Suggest we'll see some runs here in Washington. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, they'll probably all come from the Los Angeles Dodgers because they have a nice little matchup here. Not a lot of great hitters the way they profile, but great batters in the lineup. And if they get hot, they'll make a difference here. But the fact of the matter is going to be Anderson, the lefty, on the mound for the Dodgers, going up against a Detroit Tigers-level offense here for the Nationals. This includes Juan Soto. Every single player in the lineup today, ISO power number is below average. Everybody but one, which is a .397 weighted on base percentage from Hernandez, is over. And then if we take a look and say, well, you know, at the bench, maybe if they can put, let's just say, Nelson Cruz in the lineup tonight because he's not anticipated to be in. How about Nelson Cruz, one of the best power hitters in Major League Baseball over the past 20 years? 51 at-bats that he's faced lefties this year, a 0 ISO power number. So hasn't had one extra base hit at this point. Incredible stuff coming out of the Nationals, but you're right. You take a look at that. A -220 price for Anderson on the mound, on the road, tells you how bad the Nationals are, Kevin.
How many people are going to look to get after this one here? Dodgers-Yanks money line parlay, -110. It's really not that bad. Oof, we got some more baseball to break down after a quick break right here on the early line. It's Kevin Walsh and Dottie Wrightside on a Monday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, continuing to fly through this Major League Baseball board. On a Monday morning, we just finished up talking about the Dodgers and the Yanks, two big-time favorites here. We'll take a trip over to the NL East. The Braves bats are starting to heat up a little bit here, and they're going to go up against the Philadelphia Phillies and Zach Wheeler. And, man, you know, I don't know, there's just certain aspects that will always surprise me. Zach Wheeler is obviously fantastic here, but a road favorite in Atlanta, I think, tells you maybe a little bit about these Braves. It's an 8 spot here when we talk about the total. Zach Wheeler and that price, how do we feel about it going to Atlanta?
Yeah, welcome back. Zach Wheeler here. Looks like he's left off of last year fighting for the Cy Young Award in 2021. Now we see him in 2022. Thought about getting that late start here. I didn't pick up a baseball for a while. We were locked out, but looks like he's back to form here, and rightfully so. But the crux of the argument in this game, Kevin, is going to come down to Davidson, the lefty on the mound for the Braves, and how he matches up against the Philadelphia Phillies. Take a look at this. Now, he's only had 37 batters here. 37 batters on the season that he's faced. A 7.08 xFIP number, which is horrendous. But again, here's where some of these things don't line up. Walks too many guys, too many strikeouts, too many fly balls. But if we take a look at his weighted on base percentage, a .225 to lefties, which is great, to righties a .341, slightly above average. And look at the ISO power numbers, 0 to lefties, 0.43 to righties. Another one of those guys that's giving up fly balls, but the ball's not traveling as far. But here's an interesting part. As we look for the Phillies, because I do think the Phillies are going to be live in this game, and obviously being a slight favorite there, I do agree with. Looks like we have about 6 to 7 batters in this lineup, ISO power number-wise, that match up very well with Davidson. Versus left-handed pitching, the Philadelphia Phillies, Hoskins at .324, Bohm at .233, Harper .333, Castellanos .175, Segura .195, Schwarber .211, and Camargo a .226. Now, the issue here is how you match those up with the weighted on-base percentages, because if outside of those 7 guys, only 4 of those guys have actually plus numbers in weighted on-base percentage versus lefties, but I think it matches up well. And if we take a look from a Zach Wheeler perspective, he's back here. Weighted on base percentage, the lefties for Zach Wheeler, .250, the righties, .311, light ISO power numbers. And quite frankly, This isn't the offense that we're usually typically seeing here for Atlanta. But then again, across Major League Baseball, Kevin, we're not seeing typical offenses here. In that lineup, only two guys anticipated to be in the lineup tonight have above average weighted on base percentage versus right-handed pitching. I think the Phillies win this game. Even though the Phillies bats have struggled, they got lucky yesterday against the Dodgers and should have been swept. I actually think they're the better ball club tonight in Atlanta.
Yeah, the one thing that's really interesting to me is going to be a Zach Wheeler strikeout prop tonight. 6.5, 7 straight Ks or more in 4 consecutive starts for Zach Wheeler. Can he continue to strike guys out at a high level, which has been kind of, I think, part of the reason he's been able to turn it around. He kind of coincides there when you think about a guy that, you know, at one point was carrying an ERA near 10, early season, sure. But he's really started to trick that thing down little by little, and we'll see how he can do tonight against Atlanta. Continuing to move through here, the Tigers and the Twins. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now,
that's
now,
why we brought it up.
Here's the thing. Don't do what I did, okay? If Donnie tells you don't bet the Detroit Tigers team total over, what you should not do is be cavalier and press it down and bet the Detroit Tigers team total over. Even if they're going up against maybe the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball in 90-degree weather with the wind blowing out, he's going to still shut them out, essentially. Because the Detroit Tigers are that bad. It's Chris Archer tonight getting the ball. We're almost at a -190 price here on the Minnesota Twins. Totals an 8.5. Where does it make sense here in this one?
It's amazing. Like, Archer is close to a $2 favorite here. 5.39 XFIP shelled from both left-handed batters and right-handed batters. But then again, that doesn't matter here against the Tigers. It really doesn't. And we were playing this game last week. Like, how many players are ISO power numbers above the 175? How many guys are above the 325 to 320 for weighted on base percentage? And last week, it's like, man, at least they got one guy. But I believe it might have been like Miguel Cabrera, like a 328 or whatever, weighted on base percentage. Well, the Tigers had such a good weekend as we come back on a Monday that not a single guy in the lineup for ISO power is above 175. Not a single guy now in the lineup, including Miguel Cabrera, is over a 325 weighted on base percentage. So even though we say terrible pitchers, sooner or later, professional hitters have to come and get those guys, it doesn't look like the Tigers are any closer to doing this. And, you know, one of those teams that we anticipated taking, hey, that lineup doesn't look that bad. You get Javi Baez over here. Javi Baez has been a disaster. Miguel Cabrera has been a disaster. Everybody in that lineup has been terrible. So the more I start to say, like, hold on here. So Detroit can't get any base hits. It almost doesn't matter what Archer does. Maybe it's right that it's a -184 favorite here for the Twins, who had an unbelievable comeback victory yesterday against Kansas City. But again, it's not that great of hitting weather either, Kevin. We're going to be in that low 60s by game time here. So that heat wave probably passed across middle America over here on the East Coast, which is a little bit cooler today. But I just like to keep Detroit every single day somehow in our rundown, just to take a look and say, we're 6 to 7 weeks into the baseball season, and this is a single-A ball club that's out here at the plate each and every night for the Tigers.
It's almost impossible. In the month of May, they have scored more than 4 runs twice. Twice. Like, it is unbelievable. I go through this, it's a bunch of twos, a bunch of twos, a bunch of ones, some zeros in there. Mm-hmm. It's just, the offense is awful, awful for the Detroit Tigers. And I don't know if there's any scenario where they'll ever be listed at a 4.5 again like they were against the Guardians in that spot. Blue Jays, Cardinals here, Mikolas and Berríos on the mound here. Listen, boy, you know, this Toronto team has been an interesting one to follow. 22-19 now as the season carries on. They were able to pick up a series victory against the Cincinnati Reds, but they were not impressive in the series. They scored 7 total runs in 3 games at home against the Cincinnati Reds. I don't know. That just, like, the Cardinals just scored 18 against Pittsburgh. I know not everything's the same there. Maybe you could say Cincinnati's going to try and, you know, hone some things in. Okay, fine. But, man, Toronto has just not been what a lot others thought. I was lower on Toronto than most, which is kind of besides the point here. But what do you think about Toronto as they make the trip to St. Louis?
Yeah, I think St. Louis is going to be viable tonight at a minus 120, but let's get back to some of those anomalies that happened during Major League Baseball season, particularly yesterday. If you bet the St. Louis Cardinals, awesome. If you bet the over in the game, fantastic. But even though you can still come down to some wagers that factor in at the end of the game, I'm pretty sure the Pirates, who stink on offense, were probably listed somewhere around a 3 as a team total, were a joke for 8 innings, and then the joke turned around on Major League Baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. I can't imagine myself having an under on the Pirates and jokey joke time in the 9th inning where you allow your catcher to throw pitches in Yadi Molina and he gets lit for 4 runs and there goes your under up in smoke because you capped it perfectly, but a baseball game didn't break out in the 9th inning. Something ridiculous did happen. And we can laugh and joke where Pujols and, you know, gets the pitch twice a week now and Yadi Molina gets the pitch twice a week, but that's kind of interesting how that plays out where even if it's a blowout, what are you worried about? Well, some people probably had a Pittsburgh Pirates team total under or over, and some of those, you know, money that changed hand there, it's kind of interesting to deal with. So how's it flip over to today? Toronto and St. Louis. Barrios on the mound hasn't been very good, but he did have a very good start, Kevin, in his last outing here. But how about this? If we just take a look on the season, Barrios was a right-handed pitcher, 80 batters from the left-hand side, a .353 weighted on base percentage with an 183 ISO power number. Lefties can get to him. You got a couple lefties in the lineup today for the Cardinals. Righties at .328, which is right around average as a weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 155. But I like this. Take a look at this. The first 6 batters in the lineup tonight anticipated for the St. Louis Cardinals, Kevin, .345 weighted on base percentage, .521, .362, .375, .354, and .424. Pretty good lineup here coming through. Now, if we take a look at Toronto and how they match up, I actually think Michaelis is the better pitcher on the mound today. 4.41 xFIP, which is a little bit high, but he has very good splits here. Lefties and righties, the ISO power number, which you want to take a look at with Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, try to keep them in the yard. He's been good. Lefty batters here against him, an .071 ISO power number. Righties, an .073. I like the St. Louis Cardinals at that cheap price at minus 120 today. I think Michaelis is the better guy. Yes, Barrios did have a good start. I'll take the home team in this one.
No, Blue Jays are 8-11 on the road this year. I know a lot of people thought about Toronto's home field advantage. I will say this. The idea that they were going to be playing depleted rosters all year long in Toronto, I don't feel like we've seen that really come to fruition here, but they have been much better so far when playing up north than when they've been on the road. Look, we got one more game to get to. It's Astros and Guardians. Could it be? I know Houston's basically your team. They're the only ones that seemingly matter on the card. Does it line up tonight here for the Houston Astros at home against Cleveland?
It should line up. Minus 205 here for the Houston Astros as we listen, an over-under of 8.5. But I got to tell you, Garcia on the mound, a 4.83 xFIP. This is for the Houston Pit. That's extremely high. But this is one of those things we talked about, Kevin, coming into this year and, quite frankly, through April and May. Guys with those high xFIPs, they're not penalized all that much here because look at the weighted on base percentage. Keep in mind, .325 is a decent hitter in Major League Baseball. Garcia to lefties, .283 to righties, a .284, but still with that high xFIP number. But if you look at the Guardians lineup today, profiles decently here. You got, what, 5-plus batters in the lineup? But then if we flip it over to Houston, it's the joke yesterday. If you follow me on Twitter, I open up my odds board. I take a look to see what Houston's doing, and I see if I can make some sense of it. Now, having said that, Tristan McKenzie's got a 4.79 xFIP on the season here. Now, he's actually had 3 straight very good starts here that will put you in and say, hey, I don't really know if I want to target this guy for a team total. Lefties, Kevin, with McKenzie's a right-handed pitcher, a .187 weighted on base percentage, which is extremely low, an ISO power number of 0. Righties, a .215 ISO power number, so a little bit elevated, but that weighted on base percentage manageable. But if we take a look at that lineup today, Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, Tucker, Pena, and McCormick, all above average hitters. So we're going to have to weigh some things throughout the afternoon, but it does make sense, maybe even just for a total for the game.
All right, so potentially the Astros can carry us until everybody else wakes up in Major League Baseball. What about it? It's the NBA next year on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get over to the NBA. We've got game number 4, Celtics Heat. I can't help but smile. I actually am really looking forward to this game because I think it is, it's a stress-free game to some degree if you are the Miami Heat. You have home court advantage back in the series. You're up 2-1. If you win this game, the Celtics might as well not show up, at least would be my vibe check here. But the line reflects it as well. It's a 7-point line. Let's start with this, okay? Because I don't want to ask this inside hour number one. Honest question. You're the Miami Heat. Do you play Jimmy Butler tonight, or do you give him a game off? Get that knee right. Who cares if we're 2-2? We'll probably be 2-2 anyway. Let's get after it. Game 5 back on our home floor.
Makes sense. They did it against the Atlanta Hawks, and it worked out well with, I believe they won that game, actually. But before we even switch it over, Kevin, and we got a nice little segment to spend here, let me ask you this question. I'm looking yesterday, right? So, man, nice hot day, walked the dog a little bit, you know, smoked some cigar. It was brilliant. I loved it. I love the heat because it's cigar-smoking weather. I say to myself, all right, got the Phillies game on. Let me tune into this Golden State Warriors game here. Where is it? 3:30 ABC, perfect, right? 3:30 ABC, 4 o'clock ABC, perfect. 9 o'clock, you have one NBA game. You put that bad boy on at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. The purpose is what? Again, I'm going to ask this question to you, NBA. The purpose is what? I don't understand. You have the entire day to yourself. And don't tell me, hey, man, couldn't run up against PGA Championship, man. Who would have crushed our ratings here? Oh, boy, couldn't run up against that Yankees doubleheader versus the White Sox. Madness here. Why wasn't that game a 3:30 start in the afternoon for everybody to enjoy? Answer me that.
The thing is, they weren't even in Golden State. They were in Dallas.
Yes, correct.
Like it's not, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, we can't do 3:30. It'd be noon over there. We're not playing that game. We're in Dallas. But here, why not at 7 o'clock? I can't believe you're letting me go down this pathway, but fine, I'll indulge.
Yeah.
Just start at 7. It's a Sunday Night Football starts at 8 o'clock. What are you doing?
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of the, like, yeah, I'll watch the game, but you're cutting yourselves off. Like, Don, was the building booked? Was somebody performing up until like 5 o'clock or something there? Like, I don't understand.
Well, they have a doubleheader. Were they going to have with the Stars were in town? Then maybe they were going to play,
Mark
Cuban having
a crypto event or something?
Exactly.
They have a Dirk ceremony before, maybe? I don't understand. No, it's a good point by you. It's a good point. I still actually can't believe that the Heat Celtics series is being played at 8:30 every night as an East Coast series.
It's unbelievable. It's almost like we say to ourselves, like, hey, look,
the whole time.
We got to do our sponsors a favor here and keep the ratings low to keep their prices low. Like, the point of that is it doesn't make any sense. And the fact of the matter is, how many times I also see this too? 8:30 start tonight. This thing ain't tipping off to 8:45. Not tipping off to 8:45.
Well, yeah. You better be. Which is another problem for the better. I mean, if you haven't gone through this issue, shout out to you.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out how much leeway you have, when to get your NBA bets in. I mean, it's an absolute task. It is an absolute task here. Look, I want to bring up the full injury report as we get back to this game here, because this is the biggest injury report, I think, for a singular game so far these playoffs. I feel good about that. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating, because here's why. You have, for the Miami Heat, listed as questionable, Jimmy Butler, P.J. Tucker, Tyler Hero, Gabe Vincent, Kyle Lowry, and Max Strus. Now, we have had Gabe Vincent and Strus kind of in that category the whole way. Hero has been as well, but man, he had a lot of ice on the leg. I think they said it was a groin injury that he was actually going through there. So, again, you'd think Tyler Hero goes. I'm guessing P.J. Tucker's fine that he played. Kyle Lowry feels hit or miss. Jimmy Butler is the big one. The expectation, legitimately, before game number 3 ended, was that Jimmy was going to play. On the Boston side, Tatum had the most insane injury in the history of the NBA, where I thought he separated his shoulder and then he just came back immediately. Marcus Smart's ankle touched the court in a really bad way, and I don't know how he even finished that game. Plus, we know he's already been battling injury. Robert Williams missed game 3. I have no clue what the... Like, Robert Williams is out there playing full games and then just not available the next day. It's very bizarre, all of the Robert Williams stuff here. It's a lot to unpack. I just threw a lot out to the people. Here's my guess, and you tell me what you think. I think every single one of the guys on the Miami Heat play, I don't think Marcus Smart plays tonight. I might be crazy. That ankle injury looked bad. Maybe I'm crazy here. The line, though, to me, Donnie, at a 7, Does that tell you anything about these injuries?
It tells me that they're expecting the Boston Celtics to win easy tonight, but it's a great point you're bringing up, because what are we really focused on more? Oh, is Jimmy Butler going to play? Is he not going to play? But look at all the injuries and the nicks and the bumps and the bruises that the Boston Celtics have to deal with here. And you're also talking about Marcus Smart, who has a devastating, look like ankle injury. He was going to, won't see him again for the rest of the series, only to come back later in that game. And also playing off of a mid-foot sprain. You're right. Robert Williams III, in the game or out of the game, certainly makes a big difference with Bam Adebayo. If Bam says, hey, Robert Williams is going to play, I'm going to go off, maybe that's a trigger point tonight. And you're right. Banged up issues here for Jason Tatum. But the only ones that we're looking at typically is Jimmy Butler going to play or not? This is still a high line. This isn't even a hedge line for me. Like, what's the hedge line? They're not hedging the same. We're not sure if Jimmy Butler's going to play. Jimmy Butler actually said he is going to play in this game tonight. Now, whether or not the player wants to play and the organization lets him play might be two different things. And also keep in mind that Jimmy Butler news the first time around, Kevin, when they played the Atlanta Hawks, that came out late in the day. I was almost like, whoa, wait a second here. What do you mean he's got a knee injury? Is this something we have to wait for the rest of the playoffs? So you might get some surprises later in the day. It's hard to try to gauge, as we talk here in the morning at 8:46 Eastern, and say, I know exactly who's going to play. Here's where I'm going. But quite frankly, a lot of these player props might dictate where I'm going tonight based on who's available and who's not, or who might be injured and who's banged up. Because guys that we look at, like an Al Horford, if you're looking at some guys that can't step up to the plate, maybe a little more injured, he's going to get more looks. He's going to get more rebounds. And quite frankly, from a Miami perspective, if Jimmy Butler sits this out, are we just going to go crazy with Bam Adebayo if Robert Williams doesn't start? It's a fascinating game to try to break down. And maybe if Jimmy Butler doesn't play, does Duncan Robinson actually get to play meaningful minutes in a game that means something here in the playoffs? It's great to talk about here, but maybe not having that clear crystal ball, Kevin, to a little bit later in the afternoon.
Yeah, 100%. So here's another thing we can bring up. How are you going to tell me the Boston Celtics are favored to win this series if it's 2-2 going back to Miami? Because we know that the series move after every single result. Could it be, for the first time all playoffs, they have put out a series price that is actually taking into account what they are expecting in the upcoming game, where basically they're saying this Miami-Boston line is very, very similar to what the line will be if Boston wins, slightly flip Boston minus 120, right? Are you telling me we're going Boston minus $1.50 if they win game 4 and we go back to Miami? Are you telling me Boston's favored in Miami in game number 5 if everybody's healthy? Like, that cannot be the case, can it?
It seems like we're setting up that way, but let's just take around, like, because game 1, game 2, game 3, game 4, take those out. What happens if I would have told you coming into this series, it's going to be the best of 2 of 3? And 2 of those games are going to be on the Miami Heat home court here. Coming into this series between the Celtics, they've been phenomenal at home. You're trying to tell me that you would have actually priced the Boston Celtics as the favorite in a best of 2 of 3 on the Heat home court? It's hard to quantify, because I guess early in the season, things change. You know who's going to win those games. But if the Celtics do win tonight, I don't care if it's by 1 or 20 points, and we get the tweets out there like, oh man, Celtics, when they're healthy, so good. The Heat can't compare. But you still have 2 games on your home court. I would take the Miami Heat every single time in that scenario. And if they're a dog, more money to me.
Like, yeah, if this was the series price, 2-2 going to Miami, I would be like, all right, makes sense. Boston's going to be like minus 180. It's going to be 2-2 going back to Miami. It's been insane to watch this stuff play out. Like, again, I don't think I'm kidding at this point. Miami's going to win the series. They're going to hang your Boston at $105. And people are going to bet it, too. People are going to be like, I kind of like the Celts. As far as this game does go tonight, though, I do think it is a spot that makes sense to back Boston here, right? So far, it feels like as the playoffs have gone on, if you like a team to win, you like them to cover, right? That's kind of been more the angle that we've been seeing here. The Boston, Jason Tatum should bounce back, right? Now, Jaylen Brown's going to probably come back a touch, right? If you wanted to approach this game early, and I want to see if I can find this here, my initial thought, and I'll just build it myself so I don't have to worry about it, was a player performance double of Jason Tatum 25 and a Celtics win, which is minus 112. That feels like a very logical way to back the Tatum bounce back and the Celtics forget the points in Boston tonight.
It does make sense, and that's a pretty good way to look at it here, because most people like myself would say, hey, Celtics really got to jump on them early, like I thought they would have in game three and haven't been able to do that. We don't know how it's going to turn out, but the one thing you can be probably sure of, if let's just say Jimmy Butler does play, let's just say everybody's healthy in the game tonight, and you have a Jason Tatum game where he scores 16, 17, 18 points. I don't think the Celtics win this game. Otherwise, it's going to be one of those ugly ones, 90 to 87, which I don't think is going to be the case. So I think those two correlate into saying, okay, if the Celtics win this game, Jason Tatum doesn't even have to have a great game. It's not like you're asking for 35 points in this game. 25 is right about the average here that we're looking at for Jason Tatum. And being at home, you figure he's going to have that bounce back performance. And I think he does. I like the way you're looking at it overall, because I do think the Celtics win this game, but it might be a little bit different. Now, also, does it worry you? Let's just say we head in. Jimmy Butler does not play tonight in this game. Is this one of those where, because you know these lines are going to move throughout the afternoon, is it better for you to jump on this early in the morning and say, I know Butler plays it not. I know that the Celtics are going to win this game. And quite frankly, if Jimmy Butler plays, it doesn't really matter to me, because Jason Tatum should still get his 25, because you know as well as I do, if it shows that Jimmy Butler is out, that line is not going to stay at 7. That's going to creep more towards 7.5, 8, 8.5 in that range for me.
Unquestionably, that number is going to continue to climb. And I wouldn't say Jimmy's a lock. It's hard to think he's going to be out, though, considering Chris Haynes was reporting he's going to play while Game 3 was going on. It would be surprising to me if he did not play. With that being said, though, how do you not get after Bam Adebayo 16.5, right? Because what Bam – now, 31's obviously a ton. I'm not saying it's not. As long as Robert Williams out, Bam Adebayo attacking this team, there isn't an answer on the roster – for the Boston Celtics against Bam Adebayo. Because, Donnie, right, we're talking about if Jimmy's out. If Jimmy's out, that's 20.5, would you say? Would you say that's 20.5 on Bam Adebayo if there's no Jimmy Butler? Yeah. Because you're gonna, if you get 4 points of value on a points prop, oh, that's a, I mean, that's otherworldly right there.
Yeah, shot 22 times in the last game. So if another guy's not going to be there for the entire game, like at least Jimmy Butler got a half in, you're going to look at seeing that being increased. And also, again, keep in mind, Robert Williams III, in or out, makes a big difference for Bam, where he can match up better against other players in the lineup. Fascinating game tonight, which we'll be able to break down a little bit later today on Moneyline. But I'm looking forward to this one, as I have been the entire NBA playoffs.
Here's a last note. Talk about this total. We haven't gotten to the total yet. And again, there's so much stuff that has to kind of come out throughout the day. So make sure you're with us on Moneyline, 1 p.m. Eastern starts time. Myself and Donna will be breaking it down. As far as the total goes, it's a little surprising, right? Three games. Three overs. It wouldn't shock me tonight if one of these teams is below 90. It would not shock me, because it feels like we're kind of due for you know, 184 points or something being scored here in this basketball game. Looking forward to it. It's game four of the Eastern Conference Finals. Before you go anywhere, you listen up. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Monday. What a way to start the week right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Wall setting the table for the sports week at the Sports Grid. A lot of interesting things have been going on, but before we send it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after, which I'll be there for the first hour, we got some news and notes to get to, including 40 minutes, 40 points, and still not enough. Listen up. What a shame here. One of the great playoff runs for the Dallas Mavericks, probably going to end right here in the Western Conference Finals. And why? Because the Golden State Warriors are, yes, a very good basketball team. And yes, they have a 3-0 lead over the Dallas Mavericks. But quite frankly, if we date back to game two, Dallas Mavericks should have been heading back to Dallas 1-1 at least, going up against the Golden State Warriors, and then with a chance and favored in game three. But if I would have told you before the game, Luka Doncic has been an absolute marvel in the playoffs and will continue that with 40 points over 40 minutes, grabbing 11 rebounds and chipping in with three assists, it wouldn't be enough. Many would say, you're crazy, Donnie. At home, the Dallas Mavericks, they've been known to handle their business. Well, they didn't. And maybe they're running up against a very good Golden State team that's back to its championship ways, healthy and ready to make a title run, and quite frankly, on the verge of sweeping the Dallas Mavericks. Now, game four is going to take place tomorrow on the home court once again for the Dallas Mavericks, and they will probably be favored, as we see at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a -1 price. They were favored close to 3 points in the previous game yesterday against the Golden State Warriors. But having said that, when you line this up, let's wait for Luka here. Next year, Mark Cuban knows, the Dallas organization knows, they got to step it up and get a wingman here because Spencer Dinwiddie is a very good player. Actually chipped in for 26 points in game three. If we take a look at Jalen Brunson, 20 points in game three. Guys like Reggie Bullock didn't step up, and 0 for 10 from the field and 0 points. When Luka gets some serious help, and maybe he doesn't even need it, but I'm saying get this guy a wingman, it's going to be fantastic to watch. So 40 minutes, 40 points will be enough, and the Dallas Mavericks will be able to compete. Guys, make sure you stay tuned right here with Sports Grid Network and Ben Stevens in the morning after. I'll be sitting in as well.